Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear the first two verses of our epistle lesson again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, we all love a mystery, a novel, a movie, because of what is hidden there, because of what's there that's not quite yet revealed, and we're trying to figure it out, and we're waiting for that mystery, that which is hidden, to be made known to us, or to figure it out. And usually it's revealed to us, but not till the end of the story. In the same way, there are mysteries. There are things that are hidden in God's true religion, within Christianity. Mysteries. And we want them to be made known to us. In fact, we need them to be made known to us. We want them to be revealed to us. And public ministers are called to be stewards or managers of these mysteries, these hidden things. We are to make them known. Stewards. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you are familiar with the steward of Gondor. His name was Denethor. He, along with those before him, were stewards of the kingdom of Gondor. And he was to be watching and guiding that kingdom until the rightful king returned. But he was always to guide and direct that kingdom in view of the king's return, never setting himself up as king and never usurping the king's authority. Unfortunately, Denethor did not remember that as he should have in the story. But there are many who have in Christianity remembered to do it right. John the Baptist was a steward of the mysteries of God. In our text, St. Paul calls himself an Apollos, a public minister who complemented Paul's ministry. He called himself an Apollos, stewards of the mysteries of God. All public ministers, prophets, evangelists, apostles, pastors, and teachers who are rightly called into the ministry are all to be stewards of the mysteries of God. In fact, all the pastors you have had here, going all the way back to Pastor Robert Malstead, all the way up to me, we are all to be stewards of the mysteries of God, managers of the mysteries of God, stewards. Pretty cool title given to the pastors, stewards. But it's also a responsibility. But notice in our text that they are also called servants. And the particular word in the Greek here implies a servant who has some degree of authority, but always underneath a higher authority. Always doing the bidding of a higher authority. And so you find this word very often in the New Testament translated officer. And so in the case of our text, public ministers are the servant of Christ, an officer underneath Christ. And in this sense, he is not a servant of anyone else. No one else is his authority. Not a group of people, not any other person with a title or degree or is highly regarded or popular or spiritual. He's not a servant to culture. He's not a servant to some governing authority of the land. He's not a servant of some interesting or popular worldview or philosophy. He's just a servant of Christ. And this is a real problem today. Way too many public ministers like to hold their finger to the wind, see which way it's blowing, or as Jesus talks about it in the gospel, they're like a reed being swayed by the wind. Obviously, this was not the case with John the Baptist. He did not care what others thought or said, no matter who they were. We could say that John was brutally honest with anyone and everyone, whether he was a soldier or a tax collector, a fisherman, or even a king. And people were offended by what he said and by what he preached. If John the Baptist were around today, he would be accused and found guilty of hate speech. And he would be required to enroll in some sensitivity training program. Seriously, he would. But John was basically saying, I don't care what you think about me. I am not your servant. I take orders from above. I have a mission, and that is to call everyone and anyone to repentance, regardless of who you are, and then invite you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in the Jordan River, and then to remind you, direct you to produce fruit in keeping with your repentance, and then most of all, to prepare you for and point you to the one who is coming, whose sandal laces I am not worthy to untie, to point you to the one who is coming. It was this servanthood of John, unfortunately, you might say, that landed him in prison, where he was beheaded. The congregation in Corinth, to whom Paul was writing this letter, had a problem with this as well, with Paul as a servant of Christ. And so there were divisions in that church. We want our public ministers to do our bidding, they said. And so it was quite messy there at the congregation in Corinth. And this is one of the primary reasons that Paul wrote this letter to them. He said again, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So what a congregation should expect of its pastor is that he be a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. And when that is done, then the words of Jesus spoken to the apostles apply. He, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. So, a couple of things for the members of this congregation. First, if you ever notice your pastor pandering to culture or following something other than the word of Christ, do not hesitate to say to him, Pastor, quit being a wimp. Stick to the word of Christ and your divine call. Second, when your pastor preaches something or says something that offends you while he's in his public ministerial duties, when he says something that offends you or hurts your feelings or seems to be contrary to what you and others think is the right thing to do, you are obligated to ask yourself, is he simply being a faithful servant of Christ and a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. Keeping in mind that the message that John the Baptist brought, the message that Christ brought, the message that St. Paul brought, the message that all faithful ministers throughout the world, throughout the centuries have brought, many of whom suffered the same fate as John the Baptist. The message has never been popular or well received in general. And that is just as true today. In fact, it is truer today than it was 20 years ago here in our culture, or even 5 years ago in our culture. Now let's focus on that phrase, stewards of the mysteries of God. Managers of hidden things of God. What are these hidden mysteries that ministers are to be stewards of and to make known to you? Well, one mystery is the person of Christ, who he is. And if you think about it, that's really the primary message of Christmas. Who or what is hidden in that baby lying in a manger? And the answer? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You might say, what? I don't see it. Right. Because God himself is hidden under that delicate and soft flesh of that infant. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 3, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So the person of Christ, his person is a mystery. The deity of Christ is hidden within that child, true man, yet true God. So the person is a mystery. And we go from the manger to the cross of Christ, where we see another mystery, his work. His work is a mystery. Because all we see there on that cross with our eyes is a man suffering and dying. But hidden underneath that suffering and dying is the most amazing thing imaginable. Payment for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, the entire world, yours included. If you ever have any doubts whether or not your sins are forgiven, remember that you cannot undo that historical event. You can't jump into a time machine and go back there to Jerusalem and go up to that cross where Jesus is supposed to be hanging and say, stop this, he's not going to die there. No, you can't go back and change that. It's done. It's a done deal. Forgiveness has been bought for every sin. It's a fact. Even though at that time it looked only like a man dying. But it was much, much more than our eyes would have revealed. A third mystery, the means of grace. The means of forgiveness. When we say means of grace, think of a vehicle or carrier of grace. And we say there are three means of grace. The Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So, for example, on Sundays and other days as well, I say, by the authority of God in my holy office, I declare unto you the gracious forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And someone might say, you can't do that. And I say, yes, I can. I must. For I am a servant of Christ, and a steward of the mysteries of God, being directed and guided by what Christ tells me in his word. And I also may say to someone, your sins are not forgiven. And they may say, you can't do that. And I say, yes, I can. And I must, because I am a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God, being directed and guided by Christ alone. And so whether a pastor forgives sins or withholds forgiveness, he is speaking in behalf of Christ. Hidden in those words is this mystery, namely the forgiveness of sins. Baptism. Can anyone baptize? Yeah, anybody can baptize another person. But not all are called to be stewards of this mystery. And so if no steward can be present for one who needs to be baptized, by all means, baptize that person, especially in the case of an infant who may or may not live. I have a doctor friend who gave birth to helped deliver a child. And the child was going to die soon, and he knew it. And so what did he do? He baptized the child right then and there. God bless this doctor who will someday see this child in heaven because he had the sense and the compassion to baptize that child. As Peter says, baptism now saves you. It's an amazing mystery. Hidden under the waters of that baptism is the forgiveness of sins and salvation, usually administered by the steward. The Lord's Supper, that other means of grace. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You know, think about it. When we see that bread and that wine, we don't see or sense his body or blood there, and yet it is there because Jesus said so. It is there. It's just hidden. And it is there for the forgiveness of sins. Again, the pastor is to be a steward of this mystery, to deliver it to those who are worthy to receive it and to withhold it from those who are not worthy or those who do not confess what we confess. And so these means of grace, they are a mystery. Hidden under them are these amazing things. One more mystery, faith. Faith in Christ and in him alone. So as a steward, I encourage all of you to have this faith in Christ. And why is faith a mystery? What is hidden under faith or within the person who has faith? It's the most amazing thing. Let me quote you a lengthier quotation from Paul in Romans chapters 3 and 4. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. We conclude that a person is justified by faith. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited for righteousness. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would inherit the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. This is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace to guarantee to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of Abraham's faith. Abraham did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what God promised, he was also able to do. Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, here's the key verse here. It was credited to him, was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So if you have true faith in Christ Jesus, whose deity was hidden under his flesh, who on the cross, unseen to human eyes, paid for all sins, what are you? And what do you have? You know, to me, you look just like me. Just an ordinary human being with sins and every step of the way of our life on the way to death, eternal death. But that is not the case for you and me who believe. So you hold up your faith and you say, you see this? This says I am innocent of all sins. I am declared not guilty. I know it seems otherwise, but this faith from God in his Son has the blood of the Son backing it up all the way. Satan and the world and how I feel and what I experience may try to convince me otherwise, that I am nothing but sinful and destined to die eternally. But through faith in Jesus Christ, my brother in the flesh, I am righteous and I have an amazing promise from God. The promise and assurance that I am God's own dear child. And because I am his own dear child, I have an inheritance, an eternal one, an eternal life that begins forever the moment I leave this life. All this is hidden within me and within you who have this faith. So the job of a faithful steward, and hopefully a humble steward, is to make known the mysteries of God, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the means of grace and faith in Christ. To put it another way, like John, he is to announce, look, look at the one who has come. Look at the one who is still coming to us today. Look at the one who is to come at the end of all things. Look, it is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And so repent. Remember who Jesus is. Remember what he has done. Come to the means of grace as often as you can. And know that you have everything. You have it all through faith in Christ. Amen. Please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.